This week, Attorney General Eric Holder announced sweeping changes to America's 40-year war on drugs. Holder is the first African-American to hold the nation's top law enforcement post. He's part of a growing movement of black leaders who have called for major reforms to the drug war. But many black politicians, clergy, and civil rights leaders once supported punitive drug laws, hoping that a get-tough approach would clean up urban neighborhoods plagued by cocaine and heroin. WNYC's Arun Venugopal has more on the debate.
And finally, today.
On April 24th, 2009, a few months after taking office, New York Governor David Patterson stood in a drug treatment center in Queens and made history.
With a stroke of a pen, we will end the regime of the Rockefeller drug war.
With that gesture, New York's first black governor rolled back the mandatory minimum sentencing laws passed in 1973 that disproportionately locked up African-American men. This week, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder argued that Rockefeller-style law should be eased at the federal level as well. Here he is speaking with NPR.
The war on drugs is now 30, 40 years old. There have been a lot of unintended consequences. There has been kind of a decimation of certain communities, in particular communities of color.
This idea that strict drug laws have done more harm than good in black America is pretty common these days. But here's the thing. While black leaders have led efforts over the last decade to reform drug war laws, what's less well known is that many African Americans championed those same policies early on.
African Americans are portrayed as passive victims to this, as the prison boom just washed over their communities, as if they were just completely victimized.
Vanessa Barker is author of The Politics of Imprisonment.
I find that stance dehumanizing, and I also find that stance empirically or historically inaccurate.
The drug war was launched in the years following the civil rights movement, at a time when black politicians were gaining power in Washington, D.C. and in state capitals. Barker and other historians argue that state sentencing guidelines like New York's and tough federal drug laws passed in the 80s and 90s had broad support from black leaders. They believed it would help stem a wave of heroin and cocaine in their communities.
It is true that I am from Harlem. I work
in the early 1970s, Reverend George McMurray was lead pastor at the Mother AME Zion Church, one of the most important religious institutions in Harlem. He wanted convicted drug dealers to spend the rest of their lives behind bars.
When you send a few men to prison for life, someone's going to pass the word down, it's not too good over here. So my motive will change, my incentive will change. Instead of robbing and setting dope, I want to go to school and to live a good life.
3 months before President Richard Nixon launched the National War on Drugs in 1971, members of the newly formed Congressional Black Caucus met with him privately. Behind closed doors, they supported many of his crime-fighting efforts and urged him to ramp up the drug war as fast as possible. In a secret recording of the meeting made by Nixon, Harlem Democrat Charles Rangel can be heard demanding that Nixon treat the drug epidemic as a, quote, national crisis and an issue of, quote, national security. You do have the power, Rangel said, and we implore you to use it. Michael Javen Fortner is a political scientist and historian from Rutgers University and himself African-American. He says an unlikely alliance developed between law and order Republicans like Nixon and black leaders who felt embattled and under siege in their urban neighborhoods.
The silent black majority of Harlem and New York City felt constantly accosted by drug addicts, by pushers, by crime.
Fortner's account of the drug war is controversial. Some black historians, including Michelle Alexander, author of the best-selling book The New Jim Crow, have downplayed the role of black America in promoting and sustaining the drug war. Alexander declined to be interviewed for this story, but in public comments, she's portrayed the drug war as the creation of white politicians, deliberately targeting black Americans.
The drug war was motivated by racial politics, not drug crime. The drug war was launched as a way of trying to appeal to poor and working class white voters, saying we're going to get tough on them, put them back in their place. And them was not so subtly defined as African-Americans.
Fortner disagrees, and his account of the role black leaders played in fostering the drug war is unpopular, even controversial in the black community.
If you think that everything can be explained by sort of white backlash, if you think the racial order is somehow omnipresent and is all-powerful and is always trying to find ways to establish itself, reestablish its power and legitimacy, then you hate what I do.
This is the corner of 125th Street and Lenox Avenue, pretty much the heart of Harlem. Within a block from here, you've got all sorts of national retailers, an H&M store, body shop, Applebee's restaurant. There's a farmer's market not far from here with a DJ playing outside. Tourists pretty much everywhere you look. When I asked a man selling bottled water how things have changed, he told me it used to be like an outdoor drug market at that corner. It was pretty much impossible to avoid. Now there's a Starbucks.
So, did tough sentencing laws work? Did the war on drugs help clean up neighborhoods like this one? That debate still simmers.
These people had fallen under the spell of the law and order people.
Reverend Herbert Daughtry is a Brooklyn pastor, one of the longest-serving members of New York's black clergy.
I think I'm the dean of pastors in New York.
Before starting his ministry, Daughtry himself was a heroin addict who turned to armed robbery.
I went away in 1953 and spent about five, six years, and it was drug-related. I didn't hurt anybody.
He's convinced that the black leaders who embraced tough crime laws did serious harm to the community, criminalizing people like himself who needed treatment and help. But Daughtry acknowledges that a lot of African Americans were desperate for ways to make their neighborhoods safe again.
If you're the victim, then you don't want to hear anything about treatment. You don't want to hear nothing about, all you want to know is get this guy off the street. So there was that kind of support coming.
From the start, it was clear that tough state and federal sentencing laws were sweeping up a disproportionate number of blacks. Surveys show that white people use drugs as often as African Americans, but the vast majority of arrests and convictions targeted African Americans. Still, black politicians across the U.S. continued to champion the tough-on-crime approach for decades. Voting records show that many black members of Congress supported drug laws pushed by President Ronald Reagan and later by President Bill Clinton. During a televised debate in the early 1990s, Democrat Charles Rangel from Harlem still insisted that America's drug war should not only continue, but should be escalated.
You need all of these factors working together. Well, we should not allow people to be able to distribute this poison without fear that maybe they might be arrested and put in jail.
But by 2000, black communities had seen a generation of young African-American men sent to prison.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, Rockefeller Lords have got to go, hey, hey.
With more than a million African-Americans behind bars, sentencing reform efforts like the Drop the Rock campaign in New York grew. Deborah Peterson Small was part of that fight and now heads a group called Break the Chains. She says many black leaders had long been troubled by the collateral damage caused by the drug war, especially the recruitment of more and more African-American children into the drug trade.
Once people were now facing these long periods of time in prison, it became a lot more, from a business point of view, efficient to recruit young people as spotters, as runners, as people to carry the drugs, because if they got caught, they weren't going to face the same kind of sentence.
Small is critical of African-American leaders who continue to support the drug war. Historian Michael Javen Fortner says it's important for the black community to have this conversation about why the drug war happened and what role their leaders played in its creation.
There is potentially a worry that if you talk about black or black crime, that that sort of moves the agenda away from talking about these other problems. My response is that both are true. That in order to have a thorough and comprehensive debate, conversation, dialogue about the future of criminal justice in the United States, in order to develop appropriate policy responses, we have to both deal with sort of the racism in the criminal justice system, but also deal with the fact that sort of working people, middle-class people are experiencing crime.
One policy idea that black leaders have long agreed on is that local police, federal drug agents, and the courts should focus more of their efforts on kingpins and high-level drug dealers, not addicts and street pushers. That strategy may finally have its moment. Attorney General Holder says one of his goals is refocusing the drug war on precisely those criminals. For WNYC, I'm Arun Vanigopal.